On this episode of I'm Not a Lawyer But, the debrief.
Why would anybody be on the stand for one whole week? Like, it's insane.
And responding like that.
Absolutely. We didn't wrap up. We're cheersing.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Congratulations.
If you're not ready, then go ahead and tell me you're not ready.
I object to you getting records. You've been intrusive into people's personal lives.
In other words, the car didn't hit him, and he wasn't hit by the car.
I'm not a lawyer, but.
Are y'all keeping up?
I'm not a lawyer, but
the debrief.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of I'm Not a Lawyer, But
the debrief.
I am Melanie, aka I'm Not a Lawyer, But, and I am joined by my co-host.
Gooseberry, how y'all doing?
Feels like we've not been here in a while.
Because we have.
But we are back today, and we are going to, basically, I wanted to do a YSL wrap-up, because we didn't wrap up. We are just about at the point of wrap-up. It is.
Finally.
It is over for many of the defendants. There are still other defendants. I know that. Don't yell at me. I know there are other defendants that still have to go to trial, but I am talking about the longest trial in the history of Georgia. That trial is wrapped up.
Yes.
Is wrapped up. Is done. There are other issues with some of the defendants. Yes, I know. Y'all don't have to tell me all the caveats because believe me, I know them. But this trial.
The RICO is over.
The longest. Well, this trials is wrapped up. So I wanted to talk about that. But before
how many days was it?
We got the verdict on day 170.
170. All right, go ahead.
I was about to say 172, but I think it's 170. Okay, so there's a few things I wanted to go through before we kind of get to my wrap up, which is we have wine here. Shout out to Tabitha Brown. Okay, shout out to Tabitha Brown's wine at
love y'all
Target. And first of all, it was she gifted it to us because she's amazing. But we are having wine, so if you are at the house, okay, have some wine because we are celebrating. Can you pour it, sir?
I'm saying the camera on me, so I'm like,
we are celebrating the fact that I reached 50,000 subscribers
on YouTube.
50,000 subscribers on YouTube. And a lot of that had to do with the coverage of this YSL trial, and particularly the fact that I just interviewed the three jurors from this trial, and that has gone viral. But I got a bunch of, I was very close to 50,000 before that interview, and this obviously knocked it over the top. A lot of people have used that interview to make their own content, which I understand how content creation works, honey. I am not a hater. All I ask is that you tag me. Okay. Just tag my little handle. But I recognize that is a part of content creation. So I don't ever mind when people use my videos, look, screen record them. Okay. That's how I make my content. So I am so excited that people loved the interview. And that I loved it personally, and that it helped me cross over to 50K. So we're cheersing.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
And yes, it's the Red Solo Cups.
Oh, absolutely. Listen, you know how we get down? If you don't know me, here's what you should know about me. I don't like, I like red solos. I don't like wine glasses and all that.
And who knew wine?
I think my mom wants me to thank her for
vegan.
For birthing me. So,
oh yeah.
Shout out to my mama.
Appreciate that, mom. Without you, I wouldn't have her.
Hello. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, I wanted to do that first.
And daddy. I don't know where you at, daddy.
And then I wanted to go into the verdict. We got the actual verdict again on day 170. As we all know, there was a bunch of plea deals that happened when I went to court, and then there were two remaining defendants. So the trial continued with those two remaining defendants being Shannon Stilwell, who was represented by Max Sharp, and then it was Diamante Kendrick, who was represented by Doug Weinstein. And in case you didn't know, Diamante Kendrick goes by Yak, and it comes from Maniac. Like the nickname was actually Maniac, and then it just turned into Yak. I didn't
Maniac?
Know yeah. And so it turned into Yak. Anyway, I didn't know that. I thought it was interesting. But to start off, I thought it would be appropriate to, I'm sure everybody Maniac. Has seen it because it's been such a moment, but I just want to play the verdict that came through on Tuesday. And a little bit of context for me is that Tuesday, I was looking forward to being on standby all day for this verdict. And I woke up late and missed the verdict live because it happened so quickly that I don't think anybody realized that it was happening in that moment. But let me pull it up because it was truly, truly a moment. So hold on. I'm going to share my screen. Hopefully this will be loud enough.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, I understand that you all have reached a verdict. Mr. Foreperson, is that correct? All right. And was it unanimous?
Yes.
All right. All right. Mr. Kendrick, you have been found not guilty on all charges. Mr. Stillwell, can you please stand? You have been found guilty on count 64, possession of a firearm by a convicted felon, and not guilty on every other charge. So, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, you are officially released from further service, and I cannot express the degree of thanks that Fulton County owes you for your service. Given the length of this trial, you have paid close attention this entire time, and I appreciate your devotion, as I'm sure do the parties in this case. You are welcome to stay for the sentencing, or you can return to the jury room. I would like to speak with you in just a moment in the jury room. If you all do want to stay, you're welcome to stay. Is there any objection to the form or the legality of this verdict? Any from the defense? All right. Is there any reason that we can't go ahead and sentence? You may.
I'm just going to stop really quickly because to say a few things. Number one is, like I said, I've watched that clip now a million times, and you can't help but feel the emotion of that. That hug.
That's what I. That's,
that yeah. hug. You that hear alone. The hug.
Mm-hmm.
And you I talked mean, about. Rapped. All the way around.
I mean,
all the way. And you talked about Kokomo. Ooh. You just pointed out Kokomo, mm-hmm. whose eyes looked like he was literally on the verge of tears. And you see also Diamante, and he's just like, you know, taking in the moment of yeah. not guilty on all charges. It just was. And you see my face pop up. Literally, I had just woken up and I'm like, wait, I have to do this. So, yeah.
Lil Boosie daughter.
What?
It reminds me of that when she was like, I told y'all.
Oh, he coming home.
Today. I told y'all.
He coming home today.
I'm quite sure, but they were hyped about yeah. that. That's wild.
And Max Shart has done a number of interviews over the last few days. And I think the one he did with Dennis Byron is the one I'm about to refer to. Check it out if you haven't, okay? Because it was such a good interview. But in that interview, Max Shart alluded to the fact that when he just said, can we approach for a second, because the judge was ready to do the Bert. Sentencing. Mm. He asked if he could approach, and he said, I'm not going. He is talking to Dennis, and he says, I'm not going to say exactly what the judge said, but when I left from approaching the bench, I felt good about the fact that she was about to go into sentencing. And she said he said he went up to Shannon and said, it's going to be okay. Mm. Just giving him a nod of like, that we gonna be good. And so of course the sentencing, Whitaker continues with her sentencing. She ends up sentencing Shannon Stillwell to 10 years because of the recidivism, right? He had to be sentenced to the max, which was 10 years for that possession charge.
Mm-hmm.
He gets sentenced to 10 years, but she commutes it to 2 years. And because he's been in jail for 2 years already, it was basically time served and the rest being served on probation. And so he could have essentially been let out that day. Both of them could have gone home that day. They have, both of them have some, I have to check with Doug actually, because they both had some other charges that were still pending. And so they weren't able to immediately be released because those had to be resolved. Hmm. But concerning this particular case, they are good to go.
And old boy had stitches in his head, right?
Yeah, because this was on Tuesday, but on Sunday night or Sunday, he had been stabbed. And so he had since, and so here we are 2 days later, and he gets not guilty, acquitted on every single charge, which is insane. It really, to be the longest trial in history of Georgia, and for it to end with even just one person being fully acquitted, and then Shannon had two murder charges.
He just got the gun charge.
And he only got, and the thing about that gun charge, count 64 to know, is that 2 days after Shymel Drinks was murdered, there was a fast, slow speed chase, and he is eventually caught. And the police say that there is a gun that they found as they are coming after him. That gun ends up belonging to Shannon's girlfriend at the time. She said, "I'm the prettiest thing he ever had." Okay. But it ends up belonging to her. And so there was a direct correlation from this gun because it's his girlfriend's and him who he's on the scene.
Yep.
And so he's found guilty of that. But every other charge is not guilty, which mm-hmm. I mean, just says a ton.
And somebody looking out for him.
Like God.
Yeah.
Oh, I was like, who?
That man upstairs or girl.
With that, one of the things that happens, of course, is that everybody wants to know how this happened. Who was talking about that? What were the jurors thinking? And so I made a video and a tweet to say, "Hey, jurors, if you want to talk, hit me up." And child, they hit me up. They actually reached out to me. Mm-hmm. And so I was able to do, again, I think, selfishly, okay, let me toot my own horn. I think an amazing interview with three of the jurors. Two of them were alternates. One of them was a deliberating juror, and mm-hmm. being able to speak to them about their perception of the evidence, their perception of the attorneys, their understanding of the case, how they felt about it all was just so eye-opening. So
you literally are judged by your peers.
In this case, these not always. In this case, though.
Are your peers
100%.
I mean, all walks of life,
yeah,
in your area,
yeah,
they know who you are, like the essence of you. They know because I grew up in the same neighborhood
Absolutely.
As him, I went to the same high school. Absolutely. These people are you. And just imagine back in the day, you used to have a jury of nobody being your peers,
and not even back in the day, sometimes that is still the case, sometimes true. That still happens.
That's true.
Remember, we had the juror consultant on here, and he was even advocating like, yo,
oh, yep.
do your jury duty if you get it. And seeing those ladies, mm-hmm. I told them after the interview, I said, I'm just so great. I don't even know if you guys realize that being able to see your faces, because I was very nervous that they wouldn't want to their faces shown, which I was like, yo, if you don't want that, I am okay with that. Like, make sure you feel comfortable. And they're like, girl, you can show our face. And I'm so happy that they were okay with that, because what that did is let people see the mm-hmm. importance of having a jury of your peers. Let yep. people see that, yo, you, when you get your summons, go, if you can, of course, there are a lot of financial implications and the system got to fix that. But if you have the ability to, it is so mm-hmm. important that you show up, because their voices in that room mattered.
Yeah.
It matters.
That when I listen to the interview.
Yeah.
Entertaining. Yes. You can toot your own horn. These are your peers.
Oh my God.
And I was like, man, I would be thinking the same way. And knowing that they're your peers, they understand what's happening. Like rap lyrics.
Yes.
Right. One of the jurors was saying about rappers always talking about how much money they got. Well, we know in our community, all rappers don't be having real money.
Yeah.
So you have to believe they're broke.
Oh, I think it was 387.
Or they're murderers. You can't choose the murdering part and use it in court,
yeah,
and say, oh, yeah, he said he was rich too, but he's actually broke.
Yeah.
So which one? Come on now.
Yeah.
And I was like, that closed the case for me.
Yeah. Yeah, it's such
you
a good
point. You can't use lyrics.
And she also talked about Eminem. I thought her reference about Eminem, the fact that she was like, Eminem didn't kill his wife 5 times in his songs.
Mm-hmm.
And
true.
I'm like, it's such a good point. But you need people who are able to, who are a part of this culture to be able to understand that. But if you are unfamiliar with this culture and it's the first time you ever heard a rapper mm-hmm. say that, you know, homicide, whatever, you may take that as fact and you may not be able to just consider it in a way that you should, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And so anyway, that was amazing. I think the other thing that really was interesting for me is I asked them about gang experts, because it was something curious about. They had gang experts in YNW Melly. They have gang experts. And anytime there's a musician, a rapper, a black musician, I should specify, they gonna have some gang experts or you know, it comes up a ton. And for them to say, I asked them what their thoughts were, and for them to say, girl, apparently all of us are gang experts. And she had her Boys in the Hood shirt on because one of the detectives said he watched Boys in the Hood, and that is how I watched Boys in the Hood and I grew up in Chicago. I'm an expert. And now you get to be an expert and put away people for the rest of their life based off of Boys in the Hood, honey. So them being able to talk about that and talk about, you know, that they were like, this is BS, and it lost credibility, mm-hmm. I thought was so fascinating.
And on these gang experts, there should be, man, you have so many men and women getting out of jail that are legitimately gang affiliated, mm-hmm. that don't want to deal with that anymore. You can actually hire these people as consultants or vendors. When you have cases like this, you've done this, you've been in the trenches. What does this mean in this rap song?
Yeah.
And you will come across so much better to a juror. I was in the game. I did this. I did that. I know what he's saying in this because I've lived it.
Yeah.
How are you going to grab this guy that has no inkling of any type of knowledge of lingo, culture, or how these guys live day to day to tell them, I watched a movie, so now I know what you mean.
And the other thing too, I think that's worth just calling out is that because they had, you know, they have these police interviews with some of these co-defendants and they want, you know, people to believe the co-defendants. But when you're hanging over these people's heads, the fact that they're in jail, and if you agree to this plea, then you can get out of jail, or you're hanging over people's heads, other cases, or, you know, Woody was up there. Many of them were like, I was lying. You know, I don't recall. There was all of these moments, even Antonio Sledge, I thought I was going to be able to explain myself. And so I'm only bringing that up because you're talking about people who like used to be a part of this life and have them testify. And there's a difference between somebody who has just there's nothing the state is hanging over their head versus people who are.
Yeah.
So anyway, all of that to say, it was such a great interview. I cannot encourage you enough to go watch it if you haven't. Because in addition to obviously the YSL case and all of the attention and media that this case has brought, it's also interesting. And I was telling them this, it's also interesting because jurors in any case get excused at some point or another, right? Mm-hmm. Like anytime there is, you know, open court conversation that they don't want jurors to hear, they get excused. And so that creates a hole for these. We had jurors come and talk about that on this podcast. And so just hearing them talk about, we left and we didn't know what happened and the judge was recused, we came back and we just were like, oh, maybe he's sick. Like, just understanding the gaps, you know, that take place when jurors are excused and they don't know what's happening, but they're still supposed to just make a verdict. It's just fascinating in and of itself. So,
and it should be a bill. I don't know how you get bills and laws passed, but somebody need to write something up saying that if you have a jury duty and it surpasses a certain period of time,
100%, yeah,
I don't. I think your mortgage or your rent should be covered.
Paid. Yeah, 100%. Period. If I got to be here to do my civic duty and can't work and I have a job that's not going to pay me, y'all should figure that out.
And childcare, whatever my expense is, I'll be happy to come serve like you want me to serve. But you need to pay my bills because I probably would have been put in jail because I'm not coming.
Yeah.
I got to pay this and do this and you feeding me bad food. And man, come on. That should be law. I don't know why it isn't already, but it should be.
Because people don't care about us. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, so now that that case is resolved, there are other defendants, right? There were a total of 12 more who still have cases, were supposed to have cases. Yesterday, after, and I'm going to say again, I'm choosing to believe that members of the state have seen at least parts of that jury interview. I'm going to say that because yesterday, I just told y'all there were 12 defendants still left in this case. They dismissed charges against six of them. Six of them.
That's 50%.
Literally dismissed the charges. So I just want to go through who they did, okay? Khalif Adams was charged. He was charged with count one, which is the RICO indictment. The RICO count. He was charged with attempted murder, which has to do with wife and Lucci being shanked in jail. And then he had two other gang charges. So they just said, never mind. We don't want to charge you for those. The thing to note, though, in his paperwork, Khalif Adams was already convicted in 2019 for murder and other related charges and was sentenced to life without the possibility of parole. So he is already in jail without for life without the possibility of parole, and they were choosing to still charge him. So that, again, I think just talks about the like irresponsibility, right, of the state, because when you are prosecuting somebody and you are taking it to trial, that takes resources. It takes time and it takes jurors. We just are talking about jurors. You would waste the time
beating a dead horse
for jurors to be in a trial, right? When somebody is already in jail serving life. And I mean, people, it's also worth noting that if somebody killed my family member, I would want them prosecuted for that particular situation. However, I would imagine, don't stone me, but there is some solace in the idea that they're in jail for life anyway. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want you to be guilty for what you did to my people, but I also can appreciate you being in jail for the rest of your life, you know? So anyway, that is Khalif Adams. I hope that didn't come across as insensitive because that's not my goal. But when I think about the wasted time of jurors and the wasted resources, especially when we already have done a 170-day case trial, that's what I think about. Anyway, Damone Blaylock is the second person that they dismissed the charges for. And if you are familiar with Little Rod, Little Rod was in this first case and he only had the RICO charge and he was already in jail for a murder charge. Mm-hmm. And Damone Blaylock was also convicted with Little Rod for that murder. And so he too just only had this count one RICO for this particular case. So he's basically same situation as Little Rod. Little Rod, of course, accepted a plea, but they ended up dismissing the charges against Damone Blaylock and his murder conviction. Brian Steele just argued in front of the Supreme Court about arguing that they should get a new trial. And so we're waiting to hear back what the Supreme Court says about that. But regardless, Damone Blaylock is the second person, charges dismissed. The next person is Javaris Bradford, and he is one of the people that was charged for the murder of Donovan Thomas. So if you have been keeping up, you know, Donovan Thomas, one of the very first incidents that kind of, you know, started this entire case. Mm-hmm. And he was charged with that murder and they dropped the charges against him too. And so at this point, there's only one person left that's charged with the murder of Donovan Thomas because Yak is found not guilty. Mm-hmm. Shannon is found not guilty. They're dropping the charges against Javaris Bradford and there's only one more person. So if they can't convict this last person, essentially the state would have gone through all of this and not even got a conviction for the murder of Donovan Thomas, which is insane to me. truly insane to me. Justin Cobb is another person. He was on the run for a while, but I think he just got caught, but they dismissed the charges against him too, child. And then Demise McMullen. Oh, so maybe that's Demise McMullen also got his charges dismissed. And then Javon Fleetwood. No, I'm lying. Demise McMullen is the fourth person for Donovan Thomas's murder. That is, he still has to face charges.
What's his name?
Demise McMullen. Okay. I probably said that. That probably got confusing. Sorry if it did. But there's still one person, and it's Demise McMullen. Mm-hmm. And then Javon Fleetwood got his charges dismissed, is what I was trying to say. Anyway, there are still, like I said, other defendants who still have a trial to go. As of now, I think this morning, this date was set for February 25th or 27th, something like that. But that is supposed to happen next year. So that's kind of where we are with that. That was a lot of information. Hopefully you guys followed. But
it was, but it's good information because I didn't know it was 12 more individuals even dealing with situations like this in this case.
Yeah.
But now it's only six. And Lil Rod accepted a plea deal.
Yeah, he accepted when I went.
Oh, sure no.
Yeah, yeah. I did not mention Jimmy Winfrey, but he accepted a plea, I think, yesterday. Jimmy Winfrey was indicted as well. He is the person who eventually accepted a plea in regards to the Lil Wayne bus shooting, but he was also indicted in this case, and he accepted a plea a couple days ago. So with all of that, and now I think there's actually only five because it was 12, went down to six. I think with Winfrey's plea, I think there's only five people left now. So anyway.
What number did they start on?
28.
Mm-hmm. Man. 28. That's why this case took so long. All these people.
Yeah. Okay, so now that we kind of went through that, I wanted to go. I was talking with the jurors and just going over things that I think that they could react to, things that maybe they are unaware of. And so as I was doing that, I started going through just all my videos and all the things that have happened in this insane case. And so I thought I wanted to play a few clips just to remind everybody of how this happened. And just as a reminder, we started on day one. It was November 27, 2023. So it started November, witness testimony started November 27, 2023, and we got a verdict December 3rd, 2024, almost a little over a year exactly, which is absolutely
And some of these jurors insane. Thought the case was going to last, the trial was going to last 3 to 6 months.
If 6 to 9, I think it was six to nine. Yeah. Yep. So to start off, so just go with me, join me on this journey really quick as we kind of go through some videos. I want to say that I'm going to play the beginning of this because I need to tell y'all, I want y'all to see how fresh and like great and optimistic I looked. Okay.
I'm not a lawyer, but it is day one of the YSL RICO trial. And yes, it is already as chaotic as we imagined.
Look at me. Listen, how was it as chaotic on day one? Okay, my makeup was done. My hair was done.
I say you look fine.
Listen, but it started off chaotic, just so we're all clear that we knew what was going to happen. That's all I wanted to show from that one. I wanted y'all to just see me and see how optimistic, but also how ridiculous it was from day one. I'm going to skip to day 13. That is the day that Trontavious Stevens, a.k.a. Tick, took the stand. And there were a lot of hilarious moments from his testimony, but enjoy this one with me. Hold on. Where did it go? Sorry, hold on. Do you see it?
That's not it.
Hold on. Oh, there. It like disappeared. Here we go.
Until the case was over.
You called it just now a house arrest monitor. Would you explain what you meant by that?
So it's a monitor that monitors you?
Why do you call a house arrest monitor? Were you on house arrest?
I don't know if I was up on a house arrest. No, I couldn't have been up on a house arrest.
And you say that why?
Because I don't recall no one telling me that I had to stay in the house.
So when you said house arrest monitor a minute ago, you don't know why you said that?
No, figure the time, no.
Okay, so he's going to ask, oh, this is my one of my favorite moments.
Do you consider $500 a lot of money or not a lot of money?
Overruled.
$500 is a lump sum of money.
Why?
You can pay a bill with $500.
I agree, but you consider it a lot of money.
Anything you can pay a bill with, that's a lot of money.
Touche.
So.
This man said, yeah, it's a monitor that monitors you. But I don't think I was on house arrest, though, because they ain't say I needed to stay in the house.
Listen, that boy was so funny. So that was, he
if
was,
they didn't tell him he needed to stay in the house, by all means, he could leave however he wanted. He could go wherever he wanted to. You got to tell him now.
Absolutely.
You have to stay in the house.
Absolutely.
Because he might have thought it monitors me while I'm in the house.
Sure.
When I leave the house, it's no longer a house monitor. Hilarious. It's just a monitor.
And
$500 is a lump sum of money,
which is a lot.
And I would love it if I could have $500 a day to pay bills. It's a day that I need it every day.
So he started on day 13. He stayed on the stand until day 21. He was on the stand for a week. It was so, and that's when you think about how long this trial lasted, those are the kind of things that you realize, like, why would anybody be on the stand for one whole week? Like, it's insane.
And responding like that.
Absolutely. But on day 17, I don't know if you guys remember this, on day 17, the stream was hacked. The YSL stream was hacked, and there was almost a moment where the judge was going to not allow it to be streamed anymore. So I'm going to play a clip of when it got hacked and then fill in what happened.
And this happened.
Free fuck, mistrial.
I don't know if you guys heard it. Let me rewind a little bit. Oops.
Yeah, in his own name.
Yeah.
Then there was a comfort break, and this happened.
Free fuck, mistrial. Free fuck, mistrial. Free fuck, mistrial.
Hey, man. Yeah. The internet is wild.
Absolutely.
I was just on a call today, and this lady did not want to give me her passport information online. And I'm like, if you won't get hacked, you're going to get hacked. There's no escaping this. No. You got a federal trial. You got a trial happening. Yeah. And it sounds like this dude is a gamer in his playroom.
Absolutely. And he was,
dog, mistrial, free.
Completely yells that out. And after that moment, the state filed a motion requesting that there be no more cameras allowed in the courtroom. She actually, it was Adrienne Love, put in a motion to say that there should only be audio recordings of the trial going forward. No witnesses, no names, anything, nothing like that should be allowed. And you guys, that was day 17. That was day 17. That early in the trial where the state was essentially trying to enough with the publicity because we don't really like that. So that was day 17. Of course, the judge ended up saying no, like, you know, just watch the make sure nobody hacks it, essentially. But they continued on. The very next day was the first time they played Lifestyle in the courtroom. And everybody, I think, in the social media were like, what's happening? with the trial? Why are they playing Lifestyle? And if you were like me watching, you were like, hey, play it again. Like it was a hilarious moment, but a good moment. That day they also ended up name dropping. I think LeBron got name dropped, Snoop got name dropped, Serena Williams got name dropped, because that's the day they asked Tick if he knows Serena Williams, and he was like, I don't really watch tennis. I don't know who that is. It was hilarious, but that was day seven. So day 17, day 18, Lifestyle gets played. Day 21, Tick finally gets off the stand. Around day 35, we got the next character in this trial, which was Adrian Bean. And if you remember Adrian Bean, oh, what a time. I'm just going to play a clip from his time on the stand. It was a time. Hold on.
Can't tell you how much I saw that movie. I don't remember. In 2013, I don't really recall nothing that happened in 2013. I really don't remember. I don't remember. My man, you see a car, but I don't remember it. I can't recall. I don't remember. I don't remember. I suffered from Molly. I don't know if y'all familiar with that.
You suffered from Molly?
Yes, ma'am. I don't know if anybody in the courtroom is familiar with that, but I was a lot of drugs back in the day, and it said maybe a lot of things went wrong with me and my family. So I kind of like, you know, since I straightened my life out after coming home from prison, everything had just been white blank. I ain't remembering nothing that went on back then or nothing that had anything going on with anybody else.
Do you know a person named Jeffrey Williams that is also called Young Thug?
I don't know him like that. I know him just with business.
Anyway, I wanted to
suffered from Molly.
Absolutely, he suffered from Molly. There was one more that I wanted to play from Adrian Bean because he was quite a time. So Adrian was on 35. And then this was the other Adrian Bean moment that you have to play. There's no way you can't play this one. Hold on one second.
Man, can I get a water or something? I'm so high right now, y'all. I'm about to go to sleep on y'all now.
If you watch this trial, you remember that moment because I think everybody were like, what? Did he just say that? And absolutely, he just said that. He absolutely said that he was high on the stand. And they continued. They gave him some water.
Go to sleep.
And they continued interviewing him. Sure did.
If I was testifying, mm-hmm. I would have to act just like that. You're not going to, hey, man. I was high. I don't remember none of that stuff. Simple as that. Well, do you know your brother, your own brother? I know of him, but I was so high back then.
He talked about all of the drugs that he had taken. And he also was talking about like how this was essentially ruining his life. Like, I moved on from this. I work now. I'm tired. You guys got me coming here. Like, I'm working at night. Like, it ended up being like, dang, this sucks. If you got a subpoena, you got to show up though. But it was just like, oh my gosh, what a moment. And then the other thing I wanted to highlight, because of course there's a ton of conversation about Attorney Love and how she acted and all of that. And if you came in late to this trial, you may not be aware of some of the things that was happening early on. I mean, day one, there was a motion for a mistrial because of something that Adrian Love did, the prosecutor did. But I also just made a video, I'm Not a Lawyer But video, regarding the Miranda rights. And in that video, and in that order, right, when the Supreme Court came down on that case, what they said is that people have to be read their rights, their it's named Miranda, obviously, now, but people have to be read their Miranda rights. And if you are told that you have the right to an attorney, if you can't afford one, one will be provided with you. You can waive those rights and say, you can question me. I'm good. Mm-hmm. But what they said in that opinion is that if a person at any point says that they want an attorney, The questions have to stop. That's what they said in that opinion. Obviously, that was years ago, and a lot of conversations have continued about that. But what you may not be aware of, if you have not like been tuned in, is that on day 42 of this trial, the prosecution was trying to introduce a police interview of Yak, of Diamante Kendrick.
Okay.
But at some point, well, he is told, I mean, he says he wants an attorney. Mm-hmm. What happens is apparently Yak and the officers go outside. And at some point he says, okay, I'm ready to talk now. And they come back in and then they continue this interview. So the prosecutors are trying to get this interview now in because they're like, no, even though he said he wanted an attorney first, he later said it's okay. So she was arguing that it's okay. And Judge Glanville, hate him as much as you want, but he was not having it. So I just want to show this moment because it really, it was a moment that I appreciated that Glanville, you know, he stood up and was not really having it. So enjoy this back and forth.
What I heard on the video, which was, I need to talk to my lawyer. I don't want to talk no more. That is equivocal to this court, me, that he invoked his or withdrew his consent at that point in time and did not wish to speak to law enforcement officers anymore. Now, I'm of the opinion, this court's of the opinion, that questioning needs to stop. He's unequivocally revoked. So that's why I'm going to suppress it.
Your Honor, with respect to the statements that were made after that time, we do have, as I stated, Investigator Thorpe to tell the court on the record, present under oath, that it was not Detective Thorpe. It was the defendant that reinitiated the conversation.
Quickly jumping in because Attorney Love is saying right here, she has the detective right outside and he's ready to testify that Yak Gotti is the one who started up the conversation again when they were out on that smoke break. Which again, according to her, makes this interview admissible.
But the problem is he invokes and then we don't know what goes on in the last, in the 45 minutes, but we come back afterwards and you, and at that point in time, you don't get to eat your cake, have your cake and eat it too. It's once he invokes, that's it. It's over.
First, the defendant asked for a smoke. So they took him out for a smoke. When they took him out for a smoke, the defendant reinitiated the conversation as they went outside. That is why we have, as the burden of proof, holding the burden of proof, that is the reason we have Detective Thorpe here to testify.
I don't need his, I'll consider it, but it's this court's opinion that once he invokes, you don't get another bite of the apple by taking him outside, softening him up, giving him a cigarette, some bonbons or whatever, and then letting him go ahead and then say, oh, well, let me clarify with you a little bit.
Because it's not as the court at this time has indicated that it sees, which is that we softened him up with
That's my ruling. And prepare an order suitable on my directives.
Would the court permit the state to present evidence of what happened when they went upon the defendant's request to get a cigarette?
Ms. Love, I'm of the opinion it's not going to change my mind at this point in time.
When the defendant reinitiates the conversation, the statements that he makes are not to be suppressed. So we would like to present actual evidence to show under a totality of the circumstances.
I got the evidence. It's been admitted. Videotapes are sufficient for the court's analysis at this point in time. So
that's else? Your ruling. Thank you. I have nothing to add, Your Honor. Right.
And Your Honor, what happened with the Sally court, the conversation being reinitiated by the defendant, that actually happened. And we have the proof here to show it to the court.
I mean, that's this court's opinion. And that's my ruling.
And Your Honor, we did not.
You're arguing with me now, Ms. Love. So can we stop at this point in time?
By law enforcement, until an attorney has been made available or until the suspect reinitiates the conversation.
Your Honor,
I am being interrupted. I will not stop.
Hey,
I was speaking.
Ms. Love.
I was speaking, and I'm allowed to speak when I'm speaking.
Hey, both of you all need to just take it down a notch.
And so, Your Honor, if I may finish, because I was the one speaking before Mr. Weinstein.
But you continually engage in this pattern of behavior, Ms. Love. You don't want to accept my ruling.
Your Honor,
and I know you're being an advocate, but at some point, stop. Just stop. I made my ruling. Good, bad, or indifferent to you. You're going to win some, you're going to lose some.
I do it. Accept that.
Okay,
fact.
No, but you don't. No, not, you don't.
Your Honor, we have just not been able to present the evidence.
No, I get it.
And I'm not just doing this for the sake of engaging in a pattern of behavior, Your Honor. I am standing here emphatically asking that the court allow the state to present its evidence so that the court can make a ruling based on the evidence and not on the assertion by one party or the other. The court is making a credibility judgment before even hearing what he has to say.
May I please speak? Please. May I please speak?
Okay.
And, Your Honor, I was asking that the court.
Are you finished now?
I was not, Your Honor. I was
Your Honor,
hold up. You got 30 more seconds. Wrap it up.
That's my editing.
That's longer than 30 seconds. Later.
So I would ask the court in earnest to allow us to at least present the testimony of Detective Thorpe.
Your Honor, I apologize for interrupting the state earlier, but the state can talk the ears off a donkey. This continued filibustering has got to stop so that opposing counsel can speak.
I intentionally played that entire clip because I wanted y'all, in case you were not there when it happened, I needed y'all to experience what we experienced.
That was wild. And he's telling her,
yes,
stop, please. Yes. And she keeps talking.
Yes. Yes.
Let it go.
Yes. And not only does she keep talking, because she does and she did, but she is continuing to talk about something that I would expect. And y'all, I'm not a lawyer, but something that I would expect and hope that people who work as prosecutors would say, you know what? They shouldn't have kept talking to him. I don't know. You're right, Judge. I'm going to accept that ruling because they shouldn't have kept talking to him because we have rights. And if he invoked his, if he said, I want an attorney, they shouldn't have kept talking to him. They should have let it rock. And for her to go back and forth with the judge for that long on that particular issue, I was like, what's happening here? I don't really like that.
Because the evidence she probably had that she got illegally was probably some good evidence.
Absolutely.
And she wanted to bring it forth. But kudos to the judge, because you don't know what happened out there during that smoke break.
Nope.
And y'all did soften them up. Mm-hmm. That's what you did. And I mean, come on now. Stop playing games. And also, at that moment, okay, let's bring the officer up to testify. Now let's bring, what's his name?
Yak.
Let's bring him up and ask him, is that true?
Yeah.
And he would have said, no, I wanted my lawyer. Also, did y'all see how big Doug was?
Doug Weinstein. He been on that fitness journey.
He been low. I didn't know. I didn't never recognize that.
Yep.
Dude slimmed up.
He sure did. He be on that Peloton, getting it in. He sure do.
That's what's up. Getting in, Doug.
Yep. Okay. I hope y'all are y'all in on the journey with me? Because I have more. Okay. Let's jump to day. You guys, we're only at day 56. This has happened.
Ain't he halfway through?
And it's only, I'm about to show you day 56, which is when D'Angelo White was called to the witness stand. And D'Angelo White was actually considered a victim. The state was trying to say he was a victim of something that like YSL members did. And he was not having it. Okay. He hated everybody. And when I talked to the jurors, I think it was 225, she said she remembered his testimony because he was not happy to be here. So hold on, here we go.
I'm saying, like, why is I'm here?
Ms. White?
This is not my case. I got nothing. I don't know why I'm even here, man. You feel me?
I understand, sir. I just gonna ask you some questions.
I don't need people to be here. Why is I'm here?
I just wanted to ask you, do you know what that shooter is on the bottom that's in that photograph before you and on the screen to your left?
What they got to do with me? I don't need people to be here. I just keep asking you the same thing.
What street is it?
You see what it says? Say John Bell Road. I don't pull to be here. I don't pull to be here. I pull to be in Hangang prison. I don't even know why I'm here. This ain't got nothing to do with me. I don't even know why I'm here. I'm already doing a 10-year bid that I'm doing two armed robbers and a hijack. This ain't have nothing to do with me. I don't pull to be here. I'm going to keep sending out it. With all due respect, man, I'm ready to go back to prison. What do they got to do with me? D'Angelo White, what they got to do with me? Hey, man, this ain't got nothing to do with me. I'm ready to go back to prison. I'm just trying to finish my 36 month out of 10 years and go home. Feel me? So you're going to force me to be here. Y'all going to force me to be here.
One point while D'Angelo is on the stand, that 911 call is played, but I'll let y'all watch so y'all can hear D'Angelo's.
Hold on for the ambulance, sir. Don't hang up, okay?
That's enough. You don't need to go into the rest of that. I just wanted to play that this is the state's witness and he was not answering a single question.
They didn't.
And Atkins kept trying. So what is that? That was your friend that got shot. He said, that ain't my friend. Why you keep trying to make that boy my friend? I don't know him. He is not my friend. I said, oh, mind you, the boy got shot and he is stop trying to make that man my friend. It was chaotic.
They don't like test the guys before or rehearse what's going to happen before.
Well, if you remember towards the end of this trial, one of the things that happened is that the defense kept saying the state is clearly not prepping their witnesses. But even if they wanted to prep their witnesses, their witnesses were, they didn't want to work with them. Like they didn't want to be there. It's really hard to prove your case when your own witnesses are combative with you. Like, You should have people who are on your side who are trying to help you.
Why they still chose to put them up there then?
Well, because their whole case was full of witnesses like that. It's because this wasn't a case that they should have prosecuted in this way. When it comes down to it, physical evidence is really helpful so that you don't have to rely on the testimony of people that you have also probably prosecuted at. They don't like you.
That's true.
If you put me in jail and now you're going to force me to be here and you want me to say what you want me to say, bruh, no, take me back to jail. I don't like you.
He in jail for 10 years doing his 10-year bid. And that same prosecutor.
Carjacking.
That same prosecutor probably put him in there.
Exactly. Like, bruh, I don't like y'all. So that was.
Why y'all got me in here?
Oh,
what that gas station got to do? The funniest thing. What road is that? You see it? It's St. John. It's St. John
Monroe. Why are you asking me? Oh my gosh. Wait, and then here's another moment. This was still because he was up there for not nearly as long as some of these other witnesses, but he was up there and they had begun asking him about a YSL member. And again, the state was saying he was a victim of a crime that YSL did to him. So the state begins asking him about Walter Murphy. Walter Murphy is said to be one of the founders of YSL. Mm-hmm. So the state asks him about that, and we got this hilarious moment. Hold on.
Of course, because my name is DW, but it don't mean I did that.
Anyone else that has a D and a K tattoo between the eyebrows other than Walter Murphy?
Well, I don't even know Walter Murphy. Why you keep trying to make me know someone? I don't know Walter Murphy. I don't even know him. Walter Murphy sounds like a white person. Then.
Oh, wait, let me keep playing.
Why would I be scared to testify something if we ain't got nothing to do with me? But I didn't even talk to him. This don't even have nothing to do with me.
Mr. White.
Why is I'm here?
Mr. White, can you take a look at me at this screen?
I'm trying to go back to prison. This don't have nothing to do with me.
Mr. White, can you at least look at the screen?
You can't make me look at the screen. I just want to go back to prison. Finish my 10-year bid, go home. You disturbed me from when I was at prison doing my time.
Mrs. White, you realize you were a victim in this case, right?
How am I a victim? I ain't get shot. I ain't get hurt.
But the bullet came in the car and you were sitting in it.
But you said I'm a victim. Victim means something happened to me. So nothing didn't happen to me.
You don't think someone shooting a bullet at someone?
I didn't get shot in the head. Somebody else did. It was not me. My head look all right, don't
it? Detective Dennis asked you, when does it stop? When somebody's baby got shot, and you told him, somebody's baby, not my baby, right?
A baby got shot?
You didn't tell Detective Dennis that?
Hell, fuck, no, I ain't even talking to you. You going off the wall now.
In court.
Mrs. White, he asked you, what if they hit your baby trying to get at you? Tell her, you don't have a baby. My mom doesn't even come outside. I tell my mom not to come outside, right?
My mom is not living right now.
But she was back in 2015, right?
And my mama don't even come outside because she was old.
Why did your mom not want to come outside?
My mom was 60 years old. Why would my mom be coming outside? I never even talk to nobody, bro. This ain't even got to do nothing with my mama, nigga. You trying to, you can't get a conviction on me, man. I can't help you.
This is right.
This don't have nothing to do with me. Listen, however you want to take it, however you want to go about it. 36 months, I'm going to be there and I'm going to make it home. You can't stop me from going home.
For
one, Pooh is not my friend. I don't even know him. What the fuck is $20 gonna do for me? For one, I don't even like the police. Two, why would I be telling y'all anything about something that don't have nothing to do with me? I keep telling you, whenever happened at that gas station, when a shot fired, I ran because I had a fire on. I was on first front of the station. I got out of there, my sister came and got me. I was at home. Why would I be telling anybody anything? Do I look like on the police?
Even people who aren't in gangs in prison. Is there ways for them to find out what happens in court?
I be minding my business. Have you ever heard the saying, keep your eyes on your own paper? I'm sorry, I don't really be standing with no nigga got going on down the road.
And the detective say, you have to just circle the person who you saw that night without gun. Circle it and sign it. And you ask, sign my name, right?
So who signed my name? You? One of them signed my name?
Why do you have to sign my name? I'll circle it, but I won't initial nothing, right?
How much you getting paid for this? You lying, they lying. I ain't got nothing to do with it.
And Detective Dager asked you if you know what unit she works in. You asked her what department. You understand that this way?
Only department I'm trying to go back to is correction down the road. Yeah.
An unmarked AB police car did come and meet you at your location.
Okay, I think that's enough. You guys get the point. That is from day 57. And let me tell you, I was going back through to do this recap. And I was like, I really did my big one. Because listen, I recap so many good points. You don't even got to go through all the fluff. You go rewatch that day 57 and you will just laugh. Because D'Angelo White was silly. That was, if you started at Woody, you missed so many people before him. They put regular round the way men owned the witness stand, and they got up there and acted like themselves.
Keep your eyes on your own paper. Listen. You're like, but he done called him the N-word.
Why you talking about? He ain't got nothing to do with my mama. No. What, sir? Did you call him the prosecutor?
You see Thug, he looked Thug looking like this.
Trying to hold it in.
Like, dang, boy, you stupid. That's hilarious.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
That is so funny.
So that was after
they paying y'all.
D'Angelo White. Okay. First of all, D'Angelo White said, who, Walter Murphy, sound like a white person name. And then the next witness was Walter Murphy. So
So far from a white person.
Let me play a little bit of Walter Murphy. He was a funny witness, but he had a little bit of sense. But I enjoyed actually hearing his testimony because he is very clearly round the way as well. But I feel like I don't know. I just felt like I was able to learn a lot from what he was saying. But anyway, let me play that.
That's a t-shirt, ain't it?
What?
Keep your eyes on your own paper.
You are like the Patreon. Okay, here we go.
Yeah, I heard of it. Were you just able to wake up one morning and start calling yourself a part of sex money murder?
Yeah.
And did you hang around other individuals that called themselves or that were members of sex money murder?
Well, I don't know where nobody else was doing. I know what I was doing.
Knowledge, did any of the individuals that we talked about, Trontavious Stevens, do you know if he associated himself with sex money murder?
I don't know. Nobody else was doing. I know what I was doing.
What about Jeffrey Williams?
I don't know. Nobody else was doing. I know what DK was doing.
From there, the state goes into the origination of YSL, as well as some old tweets of DK's.
Okay, the first tweet from January 29th, 2012. What is
it? I did the wrong
one. Okay,
what are you doing with your hands?
No.
You started calling yourself a blood.
Yeah.
Did you ever come? So you didn't have to do anything in order to become a blood. You just started calling yourself a blood.
Yeah.
Did you ever commit any crimes while you called yourself a blood?
I'm like, what you mean? Like, while I'm doing the crime, like, I'm in blood. What are you saying?
Why are you familiar?
Hey, man.
Because how else are you taking that question, right? Like, were you calling yourself a blood when you did those crimes? That man said, like, oh, I'm a blood. I'm going to shoot you. Like, what? What? That don't even make sense.
If that was me, I'd be like, cool, babe. Y'all know what it is. Like,
you gotta yell it out on your way there.
Like, the way he looked, though, he was like,
what?
Like I was a blood, like I was screaming out, I'm a blood.
Oh,
in the beginning, though, that first video, he was like, hey, I wasn't worried about what
nobody,
they were doing.
Yes.
I was doing what I was doing.
Yes.
Basically, he was keeping his eyes on his,
on
own,
his own paper. Absolutely. Okay, and so the next clip, we are jumping to day 67. We're not even in the hundreds yet, but it's day 67. And again, this is going to go to another moment about Attorney Love. And if you listen to the phone conversation that we played with, I had with Keith Adams, and mm-hmm. I talked to him about the time. I was like, one time you kind of called Attorney Love out and basically said she lied, and he was like, because she did.
Yeah.
So that actually happened on day 67, and a little bit of context so you can understand, you'll kind of get it as you listen. But what happens is they are trying to get, the state is trying to get a video into evidence, and the defense is objecting to the video for hearsay because they're saying there are people in the background who are not identified, who are saying words in the video. And Attorney Love basically represents to the court, to the judge, he hasn't watched the video, but she represents to the judge that there's no other voices. There's this single voice that says this one thing. And so under that representation, the judge is like, oh, if there's only one voice, then this is admissible. But the defense is like, basically, she's lying, Your Honor. There are more voices. So anyway, after this all gets resolved, which there were more voices, Keith Adams gets pissed and he calls her out. And so again, that we are on day 67, and I already showed y'all the first time with the yak thing, but a lot of thing when you hear some of these attorneys, right? And they're not like outright bashing, I would say, Attorney Love, but when you hear some of the things, and even social media, when you hear people talking about ethical concerns and issues, like, it goes back. And so I hope that this is just providing, I don't even like to bash her. That's not my goal, but like, I just want to provide context that there were some things that happened in this trial that made you question what the heck was going on. So anyway, hold on one second. Let me pull it up. You're going to get a little bit of me. It's always weird seeing my face, but here we go.
Person said, in order to get him to overturn his ruling, just watch.
And I just need about 3 or 4 minutes. I've got to say this, but what I found objectionable, and I want the court to address with the state, is what happened at the bench earlier. There was an objection to the video. You made a ruling. We moved on. The state came back up and made representations to you. And they weren't representations based upon some new case law that they had found. There were representations, misrepresentations, that were made directly to you, all of us standing there right there at the bench. She said something very, very fact-specific in an attempt to get you to readdress the issue again. Madam Prosecutor said, I want you to listen to the 17-second video, because what you had based your ruling on was that the parties in the background couldn't be identified. Right. And Madam Prosecutor said to you, and was not accurate, and I'm going to be charitable and say that she was disingenuous. What she said was, these people in the background, the only thing that you hear are people saying, yeah, yeah, that's it. When Mr. Steele corrected her and said, that's not true, she said, Mrs. Steele is not accurate. What Mrs. Steele just told you is not true. The only thing you can hear in the background is yeah, yeah. And actually, when she stepped up there, it was in an attempt to act as though she didn't know what your ruling previously was, because their attempt was to go ahead and play the video at that time, despite your previous ruling. My point is this: what she said to you was inaccurate. At some point, Your Honor, I'm asking you to, we've had this conversation about candor with the court over the course of the past number of weeks.
3.3.
Yeah. Yeah, we've had that conversation about it. And when we step up to you and we make a representation, It ought to be candid and it ought to be truthful. But you don't do it by standing there 3 feet from you in your face and lying to the court. And that's what she did. And she knew what she was doing. And it's not right. Mr. You heard Mr. Steele. Mr. Steele said, Your Honor, I am willing to surrender my bar card and have her surrender her bar card if what she is saying is true. He wasn't wrong. She wasn't wrong.
Maybe he meant she was wrong.
She was not candid with the court. And at some point, you've got to say to the parties, if I'd done that, I would expect you to say, Mr. Adams, don't do that again. Don't step up to me and lie to try and get me to rule or overrule something I've already ruled on. Don't do it again. You ought to say that to them. We're not playing games in this courtroom. These are these people's lives at stake. And like I said, sometimes you win a motion, sometimes you lose. But you don't get the court to address something or readdress something like that. That's all. Say something to them is all I'm requesting.
And then I won't play Love's response, but he was, I think you can see his frustration, right? And at that point, and again, that was day 67. And at that point, they were already very clearly frustrated with what was happening in that case and the things that were being misrepresented, particularly by that prosecutor. So anyway, were you going to say something?
No, I was just wondering where Attorney Love, where she's from.
Oh, I don't know. Okay, so from there, it only is right that we jump to the 80s. And on day 87, can you guess what happens? Do you know what happens on day 87?
Do I?
Mm-hmm.
Woody.
Yes, sir. I have this day etched in my brain.
Bum-bum.
Unfortunately,
I can imagine him walking in like that.
Here we go. Kenneth Copeland gets back on the stand to testify. And
I further delay, we're going to go ahead and call the next witness. State.
Ms. Hilton calls Kenneth Copeland to the stand.
All right, summon Mr. Copeland, please.
Hey, Mr. Copeland, good afternoon. Do you want to be here?
Ma'am.
Do you want to be here?
I'm here.
Okay. Wait, are you going to let me ask you some questions?
Okay.
How old are you?
Grown.
Okay, what does grown mean?
I'm an adult.
Okay. And when you said you're an adult, what number in years are you?
I plead the fifth.
Can I get you to step outside your jury deliberation, please? From
why he plead the fifth on his age? She looked back at the judge like, really?
Three questions.
You expect me to answer that?
That said, I plead the fifth. Sir. After, and what's so crazy is they had just gone through with him. Okay, so you have immunity. Are you going to answer questions? He said, yeah. She said, okay, how old are you? Grown? What's grown? An adult?
That's the best comeback.
It's the most ridiculous.
Grown? Somebody asked you how old you are? You grown? That's the best comeback.
So that is, of course, that was day 87. Okay, so that was the start of, I think at that point, actually, I think this next clip is when people started really kind of tuning in and kind of getting in. So it's around day 80, everybody starts getting in. And that's because.
Hold on. I want to say.
Steele, yes.
When he said plead the fifth, he said it as if he had like a drop the mic type comment. He was like, I plead the fifth.
Oh, he knew he was on. He was on. Okay.
I plead the fifth. Go ahead.
So this is day 88. It was the very next day. And if you're unfamiliar, right, there's an ex parte that happens. Brian Steele finds out about it and he tells the judge that there's an ex parte. He needs to be recused. There's this very tense standoff between Glanville and Brian Steele. Tell me how you found out about the ex parte. Steele says no. And eventually he gets held in contempt. So that is one of the moments from this trial I think will go down in history for sure. So let's just watch that.
Okay, Mr. Steele, last time. Who told you? All right, Mr. Steele's in custody. And once he clears the area, we'll go ahead and get started.
Okay, by that point, we'll get started. We're doing the trial.
Yeah, we're going to continue. I'm not called nothing.
I'm not going to participate in the trial without
Steele. You don't have that luxury at this point in time, sir. You don't have that luxury. You don't have that luxury at this point in time. You don't.
Without the court addressing. pressing issue you believe is germane.
Sir, that, sir, you all are really getting yourselves cross purposes at this point in time. He's in custody. We're going to go ahead and start. You can represent Mr. Williams. That's okay. That's fine. I'll take up the other stuff as needed, but I'm not going to take it up right now. Say again?
Respectfully, I will not. I cannot.
Sir, you have...
Keith Adams was standing on business.
You're going to have to do the best you can at this point in time, because you don't get to extort the court. That's what you're attempting to do at this point in time. Sir, yes, you are. What you're trying to do is, I'm not going forward if I don't get this. You know, it doesn't work that way, Mr. Adams. And I'm telling you at this point in time, I would just kind of govern yourself accordingly.
Judge, respectfully, we are not obligated to simply accept that there's been no violation. We believe that there has been.
Okay, well, then you made it. No, we're not doing that at this point in time. So, take Mr. Steele into custody, please.
I was freaking out. I could not, but he takes off his jacket. Ciao. Bruh.
Tell my wife I'm going to be home late tonight. Tell my wife I'm going to be home late tonight. Appreciate
okay.
y'all.
All right.
Man, get out my face, man. Yeah, I'm doing a talk over with them. All right. I'm ready to go.
Yes, sir. You certainly may.
I'm butting
Williams
the top
does not
button,
wish to go forward without me being here. You are removing me against his will, my will. You're taking away his right to counsel, and you're conducting material parts of this trial without me present, and I can't learn about it by watching online. So for that reason, additionally, I ask for a mistrial, and I assume you deny, but I'd like you to deny our motions for mistrial. You denied the other people.
I denied your motion, but I'll certainly take that under advisement, sir. We're going to be in recess for the next 5 minutes.
I got to come back to tell you what happened for the rest of the day.
Okay. And then, of course, and actually, I think Kat told me the other day, because I have it marked. What happens, of course, at the end of that is the brilliant Brian Steele tells Judge Glanville that if you're going to lock me up, at least let me be in the same cell as my client. And that was absolutely insane. Let me see if I can find that.
But regardless, he was
everything happened in this trial.
Is there anything else you want to tell?
Every criminal is where you get to.
Your order today. I'm going to order that you be taken into custody, incarcerated in the Fulton County Jail for no more than 20 days for this contempt. Those 20 days consisting of every weekend for the next 10 weekends. And you'll be reporting to 901 Wright Street Northwest, Atlanta, Georgia, 30318 at 7 p.m. on Fridays. You'll be released on 7 p.m. on Sundays.
Sentencing him to weekend jail is crazy.
And it's to commence this Friday, June the 14th at 7 p.m. and not to end till Sunday, August the 18th at 2024, 7 p.m. subject to further order of this court.
I'd ask that I can be with Mr. Williams and we work on our case all weekend.
I will, sir. If that comes to pass, you have my support. I will talk, then we may be able to make that work. Okay.
Still asking to be cellmates with Thug in jail. Also crazy.
All right.
Can you imagine?
Goated. Goated.
Being in jail with your lawyer.
Goated. If you're not telling the judge you want to be locked up with me, I don't want it. You can't represent me. Okay.
Yeah.
I need you to be on the same kind of time that Brian Steele is on.
Y'all going to the yard together?
Absolutely.
Don't nobody touch my lawyer.
Said we gonna work on our case all weekend. Lock me up. That's
push
fine.
Ups.
Listen, I love it. What a time. So okay, that was day 88. Day 100 is the day Whitaker starts. It's her very first day, because after, obviously, that Brian Steele situation, Judge Glanville gets recused. Mm-hmm. There's another judge. She recuses herself, says there's a conflict. And then Judge Whitaker is assigned to this case. She comes on and immediately changes the pace of this case. Is not here for the game. She said, when I say 8 o'clock, that's what I mean. You're going to show up on time. And really, she came on and got this case together. Whitaker comes on day 100. Day 105 is the day that Caleb Bumpus testified. If you guys remember, before the jurors were actually called back, Caleb Bumpus, who represented Kenneth Copeland in that ex parte, there was all this conversation about it. And so they were like, call her up then. So Kayla Bumpus testified. That was a whole moment in and of itself. Day 109 is when Kenneth Copeland or Woody starts his testimony back up. Day 110, if you recall, Woody's original lawyer before Kayla, Melnick, he got suspended for 6 months. So Woody didn't even have a lawyer, had to get him a new lawyer. It was a whole thing. But I'm going to jump to day 122. Okay, so we're jumping ahead a little bit because I know we've been here for a little while. Is it
Kayla Bumpus or Kayla Stillwell?
It's actually Jackson.
Oh, Jackson.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So jumping to day 122, this is the day that Attorney Love again gets rebuked in front of the jurors. And I asked them about this and they didn't even know I was talking about. We was all freaking out for the people who watch this, but if they apparently didn't even notice. But a little bit of context around that is Attorney Love had put across that a plea agreement that Antonio Sledge took was a guilty plea when it in actuality was an Alford plea. He didn't admit guilt, but she represented it as if it was a guilty plea. And it was so problematic, so problematic. So there's a big moment and Bruce Harvey says, rebuke her in front of the jury. She needs to basically get in trouble in front of the jury. And that's exactly what happened. So I think that's the clip I have right here. Let's make sure.
Further instructions for you with regard to some. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I've got some further instructions for you with regard to some of what you just heard. So I gave y'all an instruction that if this witness provided testimony that was inconsistent with a guilty plea admission, that you could accept that guilty plea admission as substantive evidence against any of these defendants. But then what we heard was that this witness pled guilty in 2017 to that being a part of that 2015 drive-by shooting. All right, here's the thing, is that guilty plea, as I think you heard this witness say, he entered that because he believed it to be in his best interest to do that. There are a couple of different ways that somebody can say, yes, I'm pleading guilty to a crime. And one of them is called an Alford plea. It's just named after a case called Alford. They're essentially saying, I am going to plead and accept that I'm guilty of this crime, but I am not saying that the facts that the state's putting forward are true. I am just saying, I think it's in my best interest to go ahead and resolve it that way. So basically what I told you about, oh, you can take those facts and those admissions and consider it against him or anybody else in this trial. When it's an Alford plea, you cannot. So none of that I said was actually true about what you just heard about those 2017 guilty plea to the 2015 drive-by shooting. Okay. And I also at this point am going to admonish and rebuke you, Miss Love.
Getting rebuked in open court is the wildest thing I've ever seen.
To pay careful attention to how you ask questions and what you put before the jury. You should not have put that factual rendition before the jury as anything that this witness admitted to at the time of the 2027 guilty plea. And I'm going to instruct you to refrain from asking improper questions.
Yes, Your Honor. Thank you.
All right.
Y'all. The jurors, when I asked them, they were like, what? They didn't even know I was talking about. But we were freaking out because first saying in front of a jury, like, I'm going to rebuke you. Like, yeah. Jesus. That it felt massive, but apparently it didn't even hold much weight.
And for them to have to tell on Miss Love, like, two siblings. Mm-hmm. She on her pad. Yeah. Why can't be on my pad?
Well, and what's so wild is after she got rebuked, she days later was like, you should rebuke the defense because they did this thing. And she was like
siblings.
I'm not doing that.
Oh, man.
And then let's jump to another cringe moment. I hate to play her, y'all. That's not my goal, but we're going to jump to, what is this? 16 days later, day 138. There's another incident in which Attorney Love misrepresents again.
Oh, this one. Oh yeah, I know what this
she
one
represents is. That. So they're putting up an Instagram image, and it has comments, and the judge asked her about the comments, and she's like, "We're not gonna even reference the comments," and then immediately references the comments. And so this is the day that she another time she got in trouble. So hold on, this we're on day 138. We're almost at the end.
What you saw on this That's social media page.
You represented at the bench that none of this,
that being the writing on the right side of the picture, which we're all squinting at because it's tiny on the piece of paper. And so I am relying upon you to actually be honest
Oof.
With the court and opposing counsel so that we can deal appropriately with the evidentiary issue. Was any of it being offered for the truth? And you said no. And then you turned around and after it was admitted over the overruling of the hearsay objection, based on the representation that nothing was being offered for its truth, you drew the witness's attention to the phone number and tried to have the witness testify to whose phone number it was. If that is not offered for the truth, what is it?
Your Honor, it explains what steps he next took. It wasn't that he sat there and took this phone number and said, okay, this is Justin Cobb's phone number. He went and sought records based on what he saw on this social media post. So it's not, this post can't prove anything, but I do expect that the witness will testify based on what he saw, regardless, because it's a legitimate.
Why can't you just at the bench, when you know that the reason you're offering it is for the phone number and then to ask the witness other questions about what he did based on that phone number and seeing that phone number, say to everybody so that we know what we're dealing with, you know, it's this phone number. And then I'm going to ask him XYZ about the phone number. And then we'll know what we're dealing with.
Because my understanding that what was being objected to was not the phone number, was the comments, that was the words, Your Honor. And again, this piece of evidence does.
Wait, watch her throw this pin.
And again, this piece of evidence does not prove anything, as anybody would be able to say. But when he saw this on Justin Cobb, the entire cross. I'm sorry, what, Your Honor?
I mean, that is included within what you're now calling comments, all of them just being.
And I asked at the bench what comments they were asserting was hearsay, Your Honor. I literally asked
it. I asked at the bench, is any of this being offered for its truth?
And Your Honor, it's being offered to explain DDA Sprinkle's actions that he took next. So the state intended and intends to introduce the records that DDA Sprinkle produced or obtained after seeing this post.
I hear what the state's saying, and it's disingenuous because we don't get to the second step that they're talking about, what records he procured and why he.
Hold on.
The possible things that it could be, but it is.
Oh, this, hold on. This is the moment.
It is. I can't figure out
questions. I think the of us are, okay. Are obtuse. It is what it is. I think that the state was disingenuous about it. The state's being very slippery in regards to their response to the questions. I think it's willful, and I think a mistrial is appropriate. And I'm asking.
I mean, I can't figure out what it is. If it's disingenuous, if it is that, I mean, I don't want to malign the prosecutor standing in front of me right now. So I'm not going to say the possible things that it could be, but it is baffling to me that somebody with the number of years of experience that you have, time after time after time, continues to seemingly purposefully hide the ball to the extent you possibly can for as long as you possibly can. And I really don't want to believe that it is purposeful, but honestly, after a certain number of times, you start to wonder how it could be anything but that, unless it is just that you are so unorganized that you are throwing this case together as you try it. And I am sorry to say that. But this case is being made much more difficult for everybody because of the haphazard way in which it is being presented.
I'm going to take a recess for a few minutes. I'll have a ruling when I get back.
Now she need a timeout. I wanted to know what I said right there because I was about to say, child. That's Whitaker those, was yeah. pissed that yeah. day. She was so pissed.
Yeah.
Rightfully so.
Mm-hmm. You feel it too.
Hey, you feel it. Mm. That is day 138. And remember, day one, they started with a motion for a mistrial for something that Attorney Love did.
Y'all know when your parents have talked to you like that.
You
that that
know.
One conversation you yes. had with your parents and they get on you like that and you're like, I'm so sorry.
Yes.
You feel so bad. Love had to feel that way.
I hope so. Because that was
emotional. I mean, she poured her heart into disciplining her.
Yes. Yes. and I think, I mean.
And that was the first time I ever heard the word malign.
Malign. She said it so good too. I don't want to malign the prosecutor standing in front of me right now. Oh, so good. So that was day 138. Day 150, we know, because I came to court. There was a motion for a mistrial. I'm not even going to play that clip. I didn't even do my Exhibit F day. I should have included that in the timeline. Mm. But day 150, obviously, motion for mistrial. That's the thing that really changed this case. I mean, outside of Glanville getting recused, day 150, I would say, is one of the other like major moments of this case. Of course, Quamarvius Nichols accepts the first plea. And from there, we have the kind of trickle down effect. We got Little Rod. We got Huey. You got Thug, obviously, being that last person. That leaves the final two witnesses, which was Diamante Kendricks and Shannon Stillwell, which got us to day 163, which was the final witness, which was Detective Viverito. And then we get a verdict a number of days later, December 3rd. You know, the not guilty for Yak and then the guilty only on the gun charge and not guilty for the other thing. So that essentially was just a miniature timeline, a miniature run through to walk through how the hell this case lasted as long as it did. There are so many other moments that I didn't even include here, but I got many recaps that you can watch if you want to. So anyway, I want to say thank y'all for rocking with us and rocking with me on all of my recaps for that trial. We gonna see what's the next one we cover. I'm looking forward to another case for you and I to cover and discuss.
Yes, I like doing this.
Okay.
Yeah, I really do like doing it. That Karen Reed was crazy.
It was. And we know that next year, top of the year, ASAP Rocky, his trial is going to start in January. Mm-hmm. Dirk's trial is a federal case, and federal cases do not allow cameras. I've been trying to figure out how I can get in there and get a press pass so I can tweet, but I'm going to see about that. And there are some other cases that are for sure on the way that I want to. I know that the trial for Fulio, the Florida rapper who was killed, there are a number of people involved in that trial, but one girl in particular is going to have her trial first because I think she's pregnant. And so I think that one is going to be starting. So we'll see. There's so many things obviously to come. The brand continues to go, but I just wanted to do a proper kind of wrap up for YSL and say thank y'all and cheers to, you know, our 50K on YouTube.
I know we're drinking the bottle.
That's it. Yes, you have, sir.
I would like to say this though.
Yeah.
For the guys that are going home, for the guys that aren't, and just for the community, what was the lady's phrase?
Malign.
Not malign. But anyway, I was like, they're getting a second chance.
Whether
only God knows guilty, innocent, or whatever, but y'all guys got a second chance.
100%.
Hopefully you use it and progress from it the best way you know how, because everybody's watching to see what happens.
Yeah, for sure.
To you all, for you all, with you all in the future. So yeah,
that said, appreciate y'all. Make sure you follow us on subscribe, like this, join my subscribers. Okay, get my numbers up on the YouTubes. Let me go over 50. That now I'm targeting 100. Okay, now that I made 50, I see 100.
And it's all possible.
It's all in my vision now. Mm-hmm. So that said, subscribe, like, share. Also find me on all the platforms. I'm not a lawyer, but
join the Patreon. You can catch me on Building with Goose on YouTube and GOOLZBY on Instagram.
Yeah.
All right. Court is adjourned.